Lord Father, I thank you this morning, Father, for Brother Jason. I just ask, Father, that as he shares this morning, Father, that we can receive what he got, Father God. I just ask you to bless him as he shares, Father God, and that we can just all receive what you got for us today, Father God, and we can just go deeper with you, Father, today. In Jesus' name, I'm blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Am I on? Test one. There we go. All right. So before I get started, for those of you that were at Youth Connect, you're going to end up hearing pretty much a double up. Not quite, but I am going to condense it from. So Dale called me up Monday or Tuesday, or maybe even before that. He's like, hey, are you going to share what you shared at Youth Connect? We want to hear it here. I'm like, and I was really hesitating. Like, it was pretty bad. It was till Thursday morning I finally said, all right, I'll do it if you make me. And so, and he's like, yeah, I'm pretty much telling you, you have to share. So, but actually, as I thought about it a little bit more, I was like, why? There was a lot of things. I had lots of excuses why I didn't want to share. And when you make up excuses and you start looking at them, they're kind of pretty petty. So, long story short, I'm here this morning, and I'm going to share what God has laid on my heart, kind of what he has been, the journey he's been taking me on, and not just the journey he has taken me on, but also what he has taught through the study that I went through for Youth Connect. You know, I was thinking as we were singing the last song, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God, oh, praise his name forevermore. You know, I think pretty much every one of us in this room, that is what we want to do. We want to be able to be praising God forever and ever and ever and ever. And that's what we want. What I want to look at today is what Christ has taught us as part of that journey. And when we understand the journey of dying to ourselves is when we'll be able to understand what it means to praise God forever and ever and ever and ever. So, with that being said, I'm going to start, and we're going to take a little bit of a look at this phrase, to die is gain. And the first thing I want to look at this morning is, what does it mean to die? So I'm going to take apart the phrase, to die is gain, and I want to look a little bit at, what does it mean to die? And what I did is, I just went straight into the dictionary and pulled out some definitions. To cease to live, to undergo the complete and permanent cessation of all vital functions, become dead. And the illustration I will use is the body, the human body, when the heart stops, when it's dead, or when the body stops, all function is gone. When that body stops moving, it's gone. It's dead, correct? Or are you telling me if I smash a bug here this morning and it stops moving, that it's still alive? I think it's dead, in my opinion. It's gone. All right, so let's take a look at that. And then we're going to move forward and look at, what does it mean to gain? And I think I have two definitions: to get something desired, especially as a result of one's effort, and also, I don't know, my clicker's not working, to acquire as an increase or an addition. In other words, to gain. And like any one of us knows, if you add profit to the margins of your business, it means it's going to go up. If you add vertical leap, you're going to add inches. If you add anything, it's going to increase, correct? That's what it means to gain something. Now, when we look at that, how does this fit into the phrase, to die is gain? And I'm going to pull out some Bible verses where Jesus taught us that before we can follow him, our first thing is death. And, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, I think it was a very clear example as a way forward for us. And it's the same thing in our lives, except just a little bit different way. So the next thing I'm going to go into is the cost. I will look here at the verse, Matthew 16, verse 24. Is my clicker not working, Sean? Why don't you just run the thing, because it is just struggling. I think my batteries went dead. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And then we'll go to verse 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And verse 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, when you look at these verses, if you look at all three of them, the very first thing, actually go back to verse 25, Sean. Oh, or actually right there. Yeah, verse 24. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, what order is that? Are we following Jesus first and then denying ourselves, or are we denying ourselves first and then following him? To me, and you can, there's more scriptures I can pull out, but it seems the first step that we have to do is we have to lay ourselves down before we can follow Jesus. And you know, so much in Western Christianity, if I can call it, and the Western Protestant mindset is, it doesn't matter. I can hang on to me. It's all about me. And that's what it is. But that is not what Jesus taught. He taught us that we have to lay down ourselves first before we can follow Jesus. And, you know, if I guess the next phrase I would put out there, it's only after we die, then we become alive. And if you think about this, Jesus said, only after we deny ourselves, take up our cross, if I can say dying to ourselves is what that's referring to, is then we become alive. And it's a paradox because in our mindset, when something dies, often that's the end. But actually, Jesus taught us that when we die is when life comes. Now, I'm going to go on farther. And what does it mean to give, to die to ourselves? Let's put it that way. And I took, I think, some verses out of the song here, and I told Dale I'm not going to pull a lot of new notes, and now I'm having to remember. Some of this I did on the spur of the moment at Youth Connect, and now I'm remembering where it's coming from. So I took the song, and I love this song, so just go down through the verses. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my soul. Everything I have within me. And the song keeps going on, but I didn't put the whole thing up there. We're giving up our identity. It's not just part of our life. It's not just certain aspects of it, but it is our heart's desires. It is everything that's inside of us that got to go. Only then can we follow Jesus. I know that's putting it pretty harshly, and I'm going to push that pretty hard this morning, but I believe this is a foundational thing that's so easy for us to miss, that we fail to let ourselves go, and yet we somehow want Christ to live and rule in our lives. We have to let it go. I'm going to go into Philippians 1:19. And here it says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, I guess I have it up back here, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being comforted of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. And I think that's the end of the verses. Now, if you look at these verses, Paul is talking a little bit about the idea of actually physical death and the idea of going home with Christ. And he said, this is a better thing. He said he knows that. It would be way better if I die, get out of this world, and go to Christ. But he says, there's a need that I need to be here for you. And I guess the reason I brought this out is sometimes in our minds, we try to rationalize what is best for us. We try to rationalize maybe even what is best for Christ. But I think one thing we got to think about is understand the words that Jesus has taught us, the words that the Word of God has taught us, and that is to live as Christ, but to die as gain. The reason I want to say this is sometimes we may say, oh, it'd be way better if I'd be just killed off and boom, go to heaven, right? Because it's a way better thing. But what about if Jesus is asking us right here on this earth that the first step he wants us before we're gone is to die to ourselves? Just like Paul said here, he has a work for us. He has a work that he wants us to do. But we can't do that until we die. And I'm not talking physical death. I'm talking dying to ourselves. Now, physical death comes. We know that. Sean was trying to, Irvin and I, right, not trying, but he was, no, in danger zone. And there's times when it comes to that. I believe that with all my heart. There's no question about it. You read stories on the news where people have to put their lives down in front of, you know, do you believe in Jesus? Boom, that's the end. That happens. I will not deny it. But I am bringing this into reality to us right now. Most of us have not faced the trigger to our head right now. Not many of us have, if any of us. For that reason, anyway. My question is it the same way? Are we looking at this as the same way as a trigger being held to our head that we die to our stuff in our own lives? Are we willing to die to ourselves the way Christ wants us to? Are we willing to hang on to those little things in our lives that we really, really want to be? Or maybe my desires, really, I want to push whatever it is forward. Maybe it's our business life. Maybe it's our personal life. Maybe it's our marriage. Maybe we're unwilling to die and understand that everything in this marriage is for Christ. Maybe it's your children. I don't have children. Well, I kind of do, but seriously, this comes down, I believe, just the same as if somebody was holding a gun to your head. It's the same way that Christ wants us to let go of ourselves. All right, let's go into, if you'll bring up the next slide, Sean. Now, there is a philosophy going around, or has been going around for years, that we are naturally good. Naturally, we make good decisions all our life. Is that truth? Without Christ, do we naturally make decisions? Good decisions. Oh, he went way too fast. But anyway, I'd like to know, is that a true statement? That we naturally make decisions toward good all the time? Absolutely not. And I would agree with you on that. Absolutely not. We will not make decisions toward good. Our natural tendency, and this is taught throughout Scripture, without Christ in our life, we will make decisions toward evil. Now, if you think about it from that aspect, by denying ourselves is really for our own good. And Christ outlined this in Scriptures that for our own good, if we let go of ourselves and let him give us direction, it's really for our own good. And it's crazy because we struggle to think through this, and that's the end of that. I'm moving around too much. But it's really for our own good. So when we try to hang on to those little things, whatever it may be, or big things, we're actually hurting ourselves. As a result of dying, we jumped right ahead somewhere. Oh, no, actually, maybe I'm jumping ahead. Go ahead. What do we need to die to? And I just put a list. This is not complete at all. But I want to get your mind thinking a little bit. Our desires, our goals, anything about me, our possessions. The list goes on and on and on. Our families, your wife, your girlfriend, your fiance, our church. What do you hang on to that you place above Christ? That's got to go. And as a result, when we die to that, we gain everything. You know, when we try to hang on to stuff, oftentimes we lose joy we lose peace. Our relationship with God Himself gets severed. And we will not grow closer. But when we are willing to die, joy, peace, our relationship with God Himself, our desires, our goals. See, I'm not saying the stuff that we have in our lives is not going to come back, but God is going to reshape them the way He wants us to do it. But our first step has to be to die. The first step has to be to die. Oh boy. All right, I was just looking here where I'm at. I'm going to take Will's advice and I'm just going to keep on rolling. He was preaching to me yesterday. He was saying he thinks we need to get out of this mindset that you reach a certain time, you got to stop. He said in the New Testament church, we're going to stop. I'm going to go on another whole sermon. Then we will be here for 2 hours. I'll stop right there. The call. Now, this is the part where it comes home to us. Very direct. Now, at this time, we're going to stop a little bit. I'm going to do a little bit different than what I did at Youth Connect, but we're going to pray. I want you to just allow God to start speaking, because where I want to take this, where I believe God wants us to go, it gets personal. And it's not about me looking at someone else, but it's about be honest with ourselves. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this morning, God. I thank you for each and every person that's in this room, Father, and I ask the anointing of your presence, God. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would just speak to each of our hearts individually. And as we look at the idea of dying to ourselves, that we would be honest and we'd be true with ourselves. And that we could listen to your voice. And if there's stuff we're holding back, that we would let it go and let you roll. Thank you, Jesus, for being here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I don't know why I don't have that verse on here, but come out from among. I do, actually. Let's go right on to the verse 17. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. See, when we die to ourselves, our whole identity changes. And we are going to be different than those around us. It is the way it's going to be. If somebody says, oh, no, you're not going to be, I'm sorry, but that's a lie. Jesus taught us that our identity is going to change and we're going to become a separate people. The Christians are going to be a separate group of people. And you know, recently in the news, people were getting all worked up because someone stood up and said, I'm going to stand on Christian values rather than bend and be okay with everybody. So here's my question. When it comes down to it, are we willing to stand up on Christian values? And because of that, when we die to ourselves, it's going to create a separation. And the people around us are going to see it. It's the way it's going to be. And now I want to look at this idea of coming out from among them. When we die to ourselves, it's kind of impossible to come out from everybody around us. I mean, you live life. But in our lives, as we walk with the surrounding world around us, our identity is going to be changed, and we're going to be a different person. And so as we walk through life, and we have people bouncing around on us on either side, we're going to be a person that's standing up in the midst of that chaos, in the midst of that pressure, that is totally different. And, you know, Jesus, people called him drunk at times. People called him crazy in the book of Acts when the disciples were preaching. They were called crazy. They were called drunk people. Are we willing to go that far that we're willing to die to ourselves that we're called crazy? Are we trying to hang on to a little bit because we don't want to be quite so weird? Matthew, all right, so what I'm going to do next is I want to go into the story where Peter denied Christ, and then we're going to come back and look at this a little bit. So I'm going to read through quite a number of verses right now. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely, you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you." The accent obviously came out there. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. See, when we go through life, I think many times we think we got it pretty much under control, that we're dead to everything. And we even go even farther, kind of like Peter, and we tell Jesus, "I'll go wherever you want me to go, anywhere." And yet, when we come under the test, we deny him. How many times do we do that in our own lives? When we have told Jesus time and time again, we have been praying with him and seeking him, "Yes, I give you my whole life." Or maybe just like what we were singing this morning in some of the song, we give everything over to him. I'm not saying that's bad. But what I want to look at this morning is, Peter said the same thing. He said the exact same thing. "I will never deny you." And yet when the test came, he bended. So I guess what I want to call out here this morning is, can we look a little bit, if we're identifying with Jesus, or are we denying him? Now, when we look at that idea, it's probably going to maybe shake us up a little bit. It should. Because I think if we're honest with ourselves, there's times in our lives where we have said we'll go anywhere with Jesus, and then something comes up and we're unwilling to deal with it. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to speak more from my personal illustration like I usually do now. This past week, past couple months, I had a, I don't know if it was disagreement with a brother, but I was unwilling to talk about it. And rather than doing what Jesus has taught, he said in Matthew 18, if we have a problem with somebody, we're supposed to go and talk to them, right? It's very simple. But yet in our mind, and I think part of that journey is I have to be willing to lay myself down. And so when a disagreement comes up, what's our job? If I have a problem with Daniel, I should pull him aside and be, "Daniel, I have this issue. You're doing this, you're doing that. I'm calling you out, whatever." But instead, and I'm speaking for myself personally, I think I got away from trying to talk to other people about it, but instead I stuff it down inside. Am I following Jesus' command? Does that make it any better? It just boils inside there, boils inside there, boils inside there. And as I was looking at that and the whole thing of denying Jesus, if we learn, and I'm shifting gears a little bit for this whole thing, because I think this comes very clear in church. And I, maybe a year or two ago, it's been a while since I preached here, I talked about, I think, this briefly. I want to bring this back into our lives personally. Are we willing, as a body, to lay ourselves down and follow Jesus' command to call out each other rather than bottling up inside? Maybe some people don't bottle it up inside and they'd rather talk to a neighbor. I don't think one is really better than the other, to be honest. One is gossip, the other is just holding bitterness, so whichever, they're all, it's all one kit and caboodle in my opinion. Are we willing, if we have an issue, to go and talk to each other? And I'm the first one to admit I've failed. That's why I'm putting this out here this morning. But I've chosen, again, I'm not saying it's going to be the last choice. Now, I want to come back to one thing I didn't talk much about. When we think of this thing of dying to self, it's not a one-time choice. And this is made very clear through scriptures. I don't think I had them verses up. I think maybe I deleted some of them out. But it's a daily choice. Every single day, we need to choose. And not just on the thing of if we have bitterness towards somebody or if we're hanging on to stuff. This becomes a daily choice. It's not a one-time choice. And are we willing to walk it out in our homes, in our businesses, at our work? And we're going to do this daily, not just one time. I'm trying to think where I want to go with it from here. What is God speaking to you this morning? Is there something on your heart? And I think that's where I'm going to end. That God would just speak that if we're hanging on to stuff, if we're not denying ourselves, ultimately, we cannot follow Jesus while we're hanging on to ourselves. And if we could bring that verse back up, Sean, I think it's the very first verse I had up of all the slides. If we choose to walk that out, because this is what Jesus taught us right here. Jesus said this right to his disciples. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. I don't think this is talking about the cross of Jesus Christ. This is talking about, if you look at the wording, about our cross, which is pretty much ourselves. Take up and let it go and follow me. That's where I'm going to end with this morning. Where did Dale go? Oh. You want me to have a word of prayer to close, or you'll take care of that? I'll let you close it out. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Jason, and bless you. And we're just going to take some time here this morning as well to do what Jason shared a lot of, obviously, just dying daily. And I was thinking about Paul. Paul said that himself. Paul recognized the importance of this. And Paul said, I die once a month. I look at Paul and I see what all Paul did, and to me, Paul is someone that I look up to. But I think Paul recognized this concept, because Paul said, I die daily. That's every day. Every 24 hours. Maybe oftener than that. Paul says, I die. And I think he was talking about exactly what Jason was talking about this morning. And so what is it in your life? What did God speak to you this morning that says, you know what? You need to die to this. This is something that's being active, and it's not supposed to be active. Jason made it very clear early on when something is dead, it's dead. There's no life there. And so my question is, what's something living inside of you that shouldn't be? And I'm just going to open it up here this morning. If there's something there and you want to share it, I'm going to give you that opportunity. Is there something there that you want to share here to us this morning, to where you want to publicly say, hey, I want to die to this? This is something God showed to me this morning.
Sam Cooke says, everyone has to die. We're all dying in different areas. He says, die quietly. Nobody wants to hear you kicking and screaming and resisting what God wants you to do. It's quite repulsive. Just die quietly. I want to die quietly so that all people see is the joy of the Lord, and they don't know about the dying. They just see the life.
Thank you for that. Amen. So you could take that two different ways. You could say, you know what, I want to die quietly, and I'm perfectly okay with that. There's no pressure here this morning at all. But if you want to share something, you have the opportunity. All right. We're going to keep moving. Thank you again, Jason, and bless you. Bless you for what you heard. And obviously, this is not just something that we let here, but it's something we all want to meet. We want to integrate that, and this